This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 24, verses 31 to 41.
Come, you who are blessed by the Lord,
he said.
Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels.
So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him. But he said,
I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say.
Then tell us,
Laban said. So he said,
I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then, when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath. Even if they refuse to give her to you, you will be released from my oath.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 24, verses 31 to 41.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
Yourself as we bring to you a continuation of the discussion. Wills,
welcome back to your show, Radio Lawyer. We are joined by a resource person. Welcome, Mr. Ansa.
Thank you, Nat.
Now let's look at another scenario where, you know, interstate, by the fractions that you mentioned, some of it would devolve onto personalities other than the surviving spouse or child, if there be any. But let us fancy the situation where two people, husband and wife, for example, died in circumstances that one cannot tell who predeceased the other. Because one taking the lead would necessarily mean that the other person inherits. How would the law look at a situation like that?
There is a theory in law that attempts to resolve a situation like that. And there is, we should say, a presumption.
Okay.
So whether it occurs in testis succession or intestate succession, when a testator and a beneficiary die under circumstance and one cannot easily tell who died first before the other, the presumption in law is that the testator died
before the beneficiary.
That presumption then makes it possible for the beneficiary to inherit, though the beneficiary might have died, so that the personal representatives of the estate of the beneficiary
can now benefit
from the estate of the testator. And similar principles are applicable to intestate succession law. If a man and his child died under a circumstance and one cannot easily tell who died first. I think the presumption would be that the man died before the child. And especially if the child is, let's say, a parent himself, he has children who can benefit from his estate, that would be a very strong presumption.
Presumption, okay. Now, when we were looking at wills or testate succession, you walked us through the process where maybe if the testator passes on, the steps that the surviving spouse or persons could take. Now, what happens where the person dies intestate?
When a person dies intestate, basically, the relevant family members must agree and nominate people to apply for letters of administration.
Okay.
Often there are disagreements. The courts, in line with the modern trends and the posture of the law, favors the nuclear family in granting of letters of administration above the customary family. Okay. Because in any case, in a situation of intestacy, a chunk of the estate now devolves to the nuclear family. So where there is a surviving spouse, there are children, there are parents, the interests of the customary family and all of that are at stake. The court, in granting an application for letters of administration, would want to ensure that those competing interests are balanced properly in the individuals to whom letters of administration are granted. In fact, if there are minors, what this means is that children below 18 years, you could have situations where a man had different children with different women.
Yes.
Whereas some of the children by one woman are already adults.
Matured adults, yes.
Some other children are minors. In that case, even though children are children, a court would want to be sure that the interest of the minors
would be catered for properly.
If there are, let's say, children by a different woman and a surviving spouse who didn't have a child, that is a different scenario. But the bottom line is that a court, in granting letters of administration, would want to ensure that these competing interests are properly catered for. So if there is an understanding, then the family members can put forward individuals to apply for the letters of administration. They must be competent people in the sense that they must not be children, minimum 21 years of age, sufficiently related and trustworthy to perform that task, which is an office of trust. And in some circumstances, the court would require head of family to swear to an affidavit. That's a position I personally disagree with, because a head of family can always sabotage the process and undermine surviving spouses and children. But some courts, some judges insist more of a standard procedure.
For the head of family
to swear an affidavit and agree that the persons put forward as applicants, he agrees and all of that. So standard procedure, but you would also have to prove that a person is dead. Normally, you prove that by exhibiting, showing death certificate or burial
permit. Okay.
To show that indeed the person we are talking about is dead. Application is filed. We estimate the value of the estate, just like testate succession and some taxes paid, and then the letters of administration is granted. When it is granted, the administrators must administer the estate according to law.
Okay.
And not anyhow.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So it's not as if once you obtain letters of administration,
you
can do what you like. No. Okay. You must administer the estate according to the intestate succession law.
Let me find out one interesting thing. We live in a society where the perception is always that the woman have a right to the estate of a deceased husband. But the vice versa is very rare.
I think we touched on this a few weeks ago. Mm. The law is very neutral.
Mm.
It's gender neutral. We talk about spouse here. And spouse means either a man or a woman.
Mm.
But I think culturally, we have some inhibitions that restrain or constrain a lot of men from pursuing interest under the estate of their departed wives. People see such men as irresponsible. So some men
shy away from it. Okay.
And it is also possible that our society is still such that men tend to be wealthier than women. Mm. So that situation tend to be more prevalent, where women must get something from their deceased husband's estate to take care of their lives. The reverse may not be that common. Uh-huh. So
let me ask you what probably will be my last question. The intestate succession law, you may misunderstand, was brought in to cure a certain mischief or to do certain things. I mean, whilst you were going through the various scenarios, you were mentioning 3/16, 2/16, 1/4, 1/8. And I was asking myself, what is 3/16 of a three-bedroom house? Does the intestate succession law actually address?
It doesn't. The intestate succession law solved some problems.
Okay.
But it brought in its wake
another set.
Some other problems too. I will mention a few of them.
Okay.
For example, the law treats all children as children.
Mm.
We didn't get into detail. For example, if a man had only one house and household chattels, we just simply say that then the surviving spouse and the children take it.
Take it, yes.
But in many situations, the surviving spouse and children are not necessarily in agreement and at peace with each other. And how to share that in itself could be a subject of bitter litigation, number one. The law doesn't discriminate between the ages and the relative experiences, education, training of the children.
Okay.
So if I am 40 years old and I have a brother who is 16 years old and our father or mother dies, in the sight of the law, we are all children and we are entitled to equal share of the estate.
Okay.
My 16-year-old younger brother or sister may need more for her education and subsequent trade. I might have already
gone past that stage.
Yes. I may not, in terms of real need, need anything, and then it is at my discretion
to ask for something or just leave it go.
Her to take all, or I insist on my pound of flesh. Also, you mentioned the unrealistic fractions.
Mm.
It leads to fragmentation.
Mm.
So if there is two houses, even after the first one, and we are talking about 3/16, 9/16, 1/8, and this and that. Often, either parties have to compromise on their rights, or houses and those things have to be sold.
So that the money could be shared in those fractions.
Yes. And then, maybe because of time, finally, what I would say is that the intestate succession law does not at all recognize the interest of some other persons who may be very important to the life of a deceased person.
Okay.
A person might have been looked after by a servant, somebody from the family, but not necessarily a
child
son.
Or,
yes. Maybe your nephew or your niece
served you
for the most part of your life. When your wife and children or husband and children have deserted you, if you died intestate, that niece or nephew is totally
cut out
and ignored. It might be your church. It might be some other institution that you loved so much or that cared so much to your interest. All of them are totally cut out and not catered for at all. And that is the more reason why, if we have opportunity, it's advisable we write a will to indicate how we want our affairs to be managed than to leave it to chance for the Lord to manage it.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's why when we get the opportunity, we should write a will to take care of things and how we would want them to be done. It leads us to the end of our discussion of wills. God willing, next week we'll move on to another topic. Thank you so very much, Godwill, for sharing your knowledge with us and giving us insight into this very important topic.
You just listened to a discussion on the topic wills. A continuation will be brought to you later.
So I dance the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that my spirit's on the roof. Don't know if anyone will understand. Feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I dance.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana.
Voice of hope. Can never pay, but from my heart I like to say that I thank you. So thank you for me,
for you and
me. See me on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for
beloved
you.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you to Moment of Truth. I pray you call your family together as God speaks to our heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you touch every heart. Speak through me to reach every heart. In Jesus' name. Beloved in the Lord, we are on the series Moses. And in this part, we're looking at Moses hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God is paramount in the life of every child of God. Moses' mistake in Egypt for killing the Egyptians sent him away 40 years into the wilderness. But God did not abandon him, but he used the occasion to shut him up in the bulwark of the mountains to unlearn many things and to qualify him as an instrument of God. God gave him the humble work of a shepherd to learn the lessons of caretaking, self-forgetfulness, compassion, long-suffering, and to break him off from all influences of Egypt. Patriarch and Prophet 2:4-8. Beloved in the Lord, this shows the kind of God we are worshiping, that if we should trust him, he turns our apparent defeat into a blessing, for those who put their trust in him are never put to shame. Proverbs 24:16. The Bible says, the righteous man may fall even 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Beloved in the Lord, Moses hearing the voice of God. Moses in the mountains alone. God speaks to us often when we are alone, when we cut off ourselves from every external influence and pressure and set our minds. God speaks. Moses had time alone to meditate on God and on the promises of Israel. And there in that solitude, Moses wrote the book of Genesis, because through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and his seemingly appointment became a spiritual blessing unto Moses. Beloved, God is able to do everything. Hearing the voice of God is paramount in our lives. Through divine providence, Moses, as a shepherd, took his flock to the west side of Mount Horeb. And there the Lord appeared unto Moses in the flame of a fire in the midst of the bush. The bush burnt with fire, but the bush was not being consumed by the fire. The fire in the bush represented a purifying effect of their bondage without any destruction. In the chastening flame that calms our lives, the Lord does not give his people over to death. Though we pass through the fire, he never allows us to be consumed by it, but he purifies us, taking the dross out of our lives. And when we come out of the fire, we come out pure and holy instrument in the hands of God. So God allows him to tread 40 years in the wilderness, that he can qualify him for a higher service. He purified and sanctified Moses, beloved in the Lord. So when Moses saw the fire, he says, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Exodus 3, verse 4. Beloved in the Lord, in our lives, God often comes in some mysterious way that he often desires that somebody will turn aside and look, that he can speak unto him. God sometimes brings certain men of God into our lives. Just as you listen to me at this moment, this is fire set by God himself that you should turn aside and listen, because God has a purpose for you. And as we turn aside to look and focus on what God wants us to see and to hear, God often speaks to us. So Moses says, I will turn aside to see this great sight. And when God saw that he turned aside and to look, God spoke. Don't take for granted the various steps of his divine providence in your life for granted. They are instrument of grace to lead you unto repentance. They are instrument of grace to enable you hear the voice of God, to bring direction and meaning unto your life. Moses heard the voice of God telling him what to do, bringing meaning and purpose into his life. The voice of God changes our situation. When Moses heard the voice of God that day, his situation changed from a shepherd to a prophet. His situation changed from the lambs to the presence of Pharaoh. He changed from being an ordinary shepherd, not communing with human beings or sheep again, but communing with the supernatural God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. No matter your situation, no matter how difficult it may be, pray. Allow God to guide you. Turn towards his divine providences. God will set a fire in your life. God will do something miraculously that he wants to turn aside to look and to see. And when we focus upon God, God always speaks. I urge you to listen to the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God brings purpose into our lives and changes our destiny. And as you pray, listen. God will speak, and the voice of God for your life will bring solution for the problems that you are passing through. There are many voices today in this world, but I urge you today, focus on the voice of God. Focus on the fire. Allow God to speak into your life. and your seemingly hopeless situation of wandering, just as Moses was wandering with his sheep for 40 years, thinking all was lost and hopeless, when he heard the voice of God that day, everything changed. I pray that the voice of God will come to you, that God will give you a new heart and a new spirit, that God will sprinkle clean water upon you and make you clean and take away every filthiness out of you, that God will anoint your ears to listen to his voice. And as God speaks to you, as I know you are listening, surround your life to Jesus and everything will be different again. May the Lord bless you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious and be merciful unto you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your servant, Pastor G. Y. Agbuado. May God bless you as you listen to us. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.